Introductions, with Patty, you want to start?
Patty Morgan, Administrative Assistant, City of Lapine.
Jane Benner, Vice Chair of this committee.
Ted Scholler, Chair.
Ken Molex, Member.
Clausen, Planning Commission.
Jake Salcone, Rural Community Assistance Corporation, RCAC.
Donna Ziegler, Lapine Water and Lapine Sewer.
Vicki Jackson, Prudential Northwest Properties.
Barbara Hedges.
City Councilwoman.
Approval of April 15th minutes. Everybody had a chance to go over those and contribute. You've got Ken's email on your list, contact list, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm getting emails.
Okay, good. But she emails out all the minutes and stuff. Ahead of time, but that's right. You probably haven't had a chance. That's what I'm asking you, any additions or corrections?
Okay, I'm still scanning. Virginia, did you finish? You haven't finished yet?
No.
Take a minute.
Warm out there? It's a little warm. Do you have a wet book or no wet book?
What I can do is give you a copy of the... It is not much here. It's just the minutes. There really wasn't any other agenda materials.
Okay.
So we just have the minutes.
Okay.
Which...
Did you get a copy? Or do you want another hard copy? Or?
Yeah, if you have an extra one.
Okay, thank you.
That's it. Okay, I move that the minutes be accepted as presented. I'll second it.
Any additions or corrections? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. Anybody have a deck of cards? Oh, we've already done that.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Are there any added agenda items not here that we should put on there?
I don't know if this qualifies as an agenda item, but I brought copies of the Oregon Revised Statutes, the ORS, pertaining to annexation and extinguishment of the district.
HB 3617.
And it also includes the new bill on the other side. So the original law and the new bill. 222.51 and 222.52.
No, I got those already distributed by email.
I haven't gotten them.
Ken, maybe, and Virginia.
I think I have copies. And you've
got a copy of those, too.
I did. Yeah, did I send them to you?
Right.
Got a copy, Jim?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Thank you. And I think... That will come in to the report on the infrastructure workshop to really follow up on that because I can't really call his name from a league Oregon City because they're sitting next to me and I told him my situation. Mm-hmm. He researched and sent me that.
Okay, great, good.
Yeah, so that worked just great. That was a big plus from that workshop. We'll get into that when I get back.
Okay,
Art isn't here either, is he?
No, and he isn't going to be, because he didn't think that it was necessary for him to be here. I have the information that he sent.
Oh, well, okay, then we can discuss
that.
Any other added agenda items? If not, we'll move on down the list and have a report from Art, and Jane, you've got the info for us from him, or at least his report.
Yeah. He went ahead and with the information that Donna supplied him, he's put together numbers for employee benefits. Now, this is just an assumption depending on what benefits the employees choose. And at this point, I don't really know how comparable this is to what the city, what the water and sewer districts are doing now. But your budget is being prepared now.
It's been finalized.
Okay.
We had our hearing
okay.
yesterday.
So at some point in the near future, I will be able to pull that budget up or...
I can email it to you.
Okay, why don't you email it to me and then I can look at, you know, what's in there and then we can start pulling together estimated legal expenses and estimated insurance expenses for this pro forma budget that we've talked about. Of course, we need the city to be through with their budget, too. And Barbara? Wow. Hey, well, it is the middle of June. You wouldn't know it's the middle of June, but it is the middle of June. Okay, so we're moving forward. So I'm not going to go into the exact numbers here because it's a lot of information, just to say that I have it, and when I get to the point of putting it in the budget, then we can talk about it in more detail.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, comments? Okay. Update on the intergovernmental agreement between the city and the special districts.
No, Jeremy spoke about this at the last meeting, last council meeting, and I believe he said that it was in the district's hands,
and
the attorney's hands.
Right, and we approved it. I forwarded it to, or I sent a message to our attorney telling her that we approved it, and she has just today forwarded it on to Jeremy.
Oh, good.
Very good.
Do you know what the details were?
I don't know.
Any additional comments on that? Okay. Update on the water and sewer district.
I did have a question. Is it a 2-year agreement? Do you know, Donna?
I thought that was 32 months. Because he wants it retroactive to January 1st. That's where the other 6 months come in.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
That's 8 months. That might be helpful. 2 years is 24 and 32, that's 8 months.
I think she was assuming it won't be approved by everybody.
Okay, I knew that was a provision that city in the next 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, update on the water and sewer districts and BioGreen. Anything new on that?
We have, pending our attorney's any final things she might see in the agreements, both boards have approved it, and so we're expecting it to be sent back to BioGreen for their attorney to give it the once over, and then as soon as that's done, we're going to sign it. We've already motioned for it to be signed once our attorney approves it.
Very good. We did the selection of terms of office for utility committee members. What was that, Patty? Can you get back to where I knew I was a 2-year.
I
think
they put it in
a
minute.
That's what I think.
It
was in the minutes.
It's in the minutes?
Page 5 on the minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Section 19.
Okay, we had an open spot, which Ken has filled. So that would expire December 30th to 11th. Myself and Virginia are 212, and Jane is 211, and Tony is 211.
Ken is 211.
2011. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
2011,
I'm sorry, not 2.
Mm-hmm.
Any additional comments on that? Okay, a report on the infrastructure workshop. I put myself and Jake down, and Jake is here. Do you want to start off, Jake?
Sure. RCAC does these types of workshops about every year, trending spring and summer.
Before you get going, there may be some people in the room that don't know what RCAC is.
Sure, okay. RCAC is the Rural Community Assistance Corporation. That's who I represent. It's a nonprofit agency that helps rural communities make improvements to their infrastructure systems. And will also help with economic development planning, housing development planning, those types of things. So one of our activities is to provide training workshops, and this was titled the Oregon Water and Wastewater Infrastructure Finance Workshop. So we had some presentations on current trends in drinking water contaminants, and we had some presentations on energy and water efficiency measures and incentives. So so like funding programs to encourage energy and water efficiency. And then we had presentations from each of the state and federal agencies that could provide funding for utilities, from State Revolving Loan Fund, from DHS, is the Drinking Water Program, and DEQ, which is the Clean Water Program, which is wastewater. It's kind of a strange oxymoron. Clean water refers to wastewater. They all presented on their funding programs, as well as USDA Rural Development, which spoke a bit about the types of loans and grant packages that they offer at this time. When a city goes to pursue funding from one of those agencies, they schedule what's called a one-stop scenario, and that's when the agencies come together with the city and they run some hypothetical scenarios of if they're to fund such and such project with funding from rural development versus DEQ versus a combination, if they got this grant, what the final outcome would be, what it would mean for rates, and what type of debt service they would have to be able to produce each year. So we did a mock one-stop scenario at this workshop. The city of Wallawa was there, and they're contemplating a sewer project, so we were able to run some scenarios for them. And Ted was there, and I hope got some good information from
I did. It was extremely informative to me because I'm a novice in terms of water and wastewater and its funding possibilities. I just thought it was great. It was I really got a lot of information from it, and especially the one-stop shop. I thought that was really, really unique and very beneficial type of approach to it. And I think I mentioned at this meeting last time, it's when all the funding agencies and the applicant sit down on a teleconference and talk about the different programs which might work for that particular process, and which one, how it affected rate increases and so on, and what rebates were there, what forgivable loans were there, and it was really informative. I was disappointed that the engineer for the water sewer district wasn't there. He might have been in Salem because they had a duplicate session in Salem. I don't know, but
yeah, he probably was since he's out of Coos Bay.
But that you know, just a great, great program. And from that, I was sitting next to the gentleman from League of Oregon Cities, and I told him about our situation here in La Pina, and he emailed me within a couple of days the two bills, the bills, and the last bill, HB 3617, I think the name was, regarding city absorption of special districts. And I don't think it's a complicated, my impression of that isn't as complicated as we thought originally it would be. And he said that, you know, I got a hold of Representative Gene Wisnett, which represents our district, and ask him if he would do some research, because the HB 3617, I wasn't sure it had become law, whether it was signed or not. And it was in March, it was signed into law. And I mentioned to him that I was thinking of asking the Attorney General to research that and see if my interpretation was correct. And he said, no, don't waste your money, it'll cost you money. I'll have the legislative council research that for you. And so it's before the legislature. He hadn't come back with an answer yet.
Okay.
I gave him my hypothesis or my interpretation. But so far we haven't got an answer back on whether I'm correct.
And what was the question you're asking? What's your interpretation?
I don't have a copy of my email.
I have one.
You got a copy of my email to him? I forwarded to several members here.
Because my impression of reading the bill is that it pertained to cities that have not yet incorporated. If they were to incorporate and include the entire district, what they would have to do.
Yeah, that's my interpretation too. H. Bill 3617, and even specifically says that this is the one that where the districts match at the time of incorporation.
Right.
Yeah, and they don't.
No. Well, that's
me.
At this conjecture, yeah. Okay, maybe I didn't see that right, but I asked, I said, from my interpretation is that, in fact, they can be adjourned.
The Legislative Council is...
Yeah.
My two cents with H. Bill 3617.
Deals with the districts and boundaries. What is it?
Well, I chopped it off.
That were not completely within the incorporated, whereas it sounds like the districts for the Lapine may be larger than the area incorporated.
Yeah.
If that is the case, the whereas would apply and not HB 3617.
Yeah, so that's where this 22.52.
The original statute.
That was Daniel Eisenbach's from.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's the legislative.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll see what the Legislative Council had to say.
Okay.
This 222.52 is kind of interesting, though, because it says annexation of less than entire district. Whenever a part less than the entire area of a district named in ORS 222.51 becomes incorporated as or annexed to a city in accordance with law, the city may cause that part to be withdrawn from the district. So that's something that maybe might be considered too, if the city does want to take it out, if it's just little tiny pieces, that
right.
They could be withdrawn from the district to make a match. Donna, I pulled the map off the computer, but I don't think I'm looking at this right.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looked to me, if I was going on these dotted lines, as though the water district doesn't include that whole area out there that's just bare, like BLM land.
Both districts are the same.
Yeah.
Aside from this one little section right there.
The Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Yes.
Yeah.
The sewer has it, the water doesn't. The
How did that happen?
I don't know. The sewer takes that in, water goes this way and out.
Okay, so I knew that, but I meant with the city. Because they're talking about this 40 acres. And when I looked at this map, it almost looked like it just went down Highway 97. So that's why I think I didn't mark this correctly.
Hmm. You may not have.
I think I didn't.
Yeah.
Because I was misreading that.
Go this way.
So
and then down.
All that
over.
Dark olive green and
yes.
stuff, that is part of the Water and Sewer District.
It will be. Right, once we get it.
That's the
federal.
That's the BLM.
Right.
That's the one
that's
going
to
the
right.
So what is this 40 acres they're talking about? Is that little orange chunk down there in the corner?
I have no idea.
Because I wasn't aware.
We didn't do 40. Ours is like 400 and...
Yeah. So I don't know
who's
talking.
Somebody's talking about
Jim Plumius.
That came out of our discussion, huh?
He's talking about the 40 acres.
Yeah, he's getting some information on that for Rick Allen.
Okay.
I'm not sure the details.
Because I knew that they didn't match for a little triangle, but when then they were talking about this 40 acres, I'm thinking, what 40 acres?
Mm-hmm.
I think that since we formed the committee, that this has been the big question. And it's about time, and it's a complicated question, but there's an answer to it. And I think that we're long overdue for that legal analysis. And I think that that's what we should ask Rick for, so we can just be done with the question.
Well, I hope to meet with Rick next week.
Oh, good.
He said he wanted to meet with me, and so I hope to meet with him then. I understand he's always started drawing some conclusions, so it'd be interesting to meet with him. I won't say anything about him now because I haven't got from his word, you know, and want to make sure we get all our facts straight before we start talking about those things.
Now, Rick is your new city manager.
New city manager, yes.
And is he a lawyer? Is he going to be?
No, he's been the city manager.
Okay.
In Madras, he
consultant.
Yeah, he was county commissioner in Jefferson County.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got a lot of experience in this field. He's not legal, and I think before we draw any final conclusions, we want a legal opinion on it.
Yeah, which we have already, I think we've already have ordered that. The council has agreed that Jeremy was going to do this. I think he's already performed that, and now he's just getting the information to the committee.
And that is an analysis of the Oregon revised statute?
Yeah, it's going to be a legal memorandum outlining all the options.
This 222.52, I wouldn't fret over it too much. I think it was designed, and I'm not a lawyer, but I think it was designed for areas where there is a very large district and the city is just a small part of it, that the city could carve out a segment and the district could go on with business. It's kind of the opposite scenario here, that there would be a very small part outside of the city.
Yeah, as I understand it, that small part wouldn't even serviced by the districts because they have no dwellings or anything.
Right.
That's my understanding. But again, we'll find out. We want to get the final answers and make sure we're talking from fact.
Is there a time frame for that?
I would hope we'd have something by next month. Well, it's this next meeting.
From the attorney?
And from the...
Well, I think that let's just make that a request.
Okay.
And see that,
all
right. Yeah, that we need to have that question answered.
All right. If you put that in the minutes, we request that from the city by our July meeting.
That's the legal memorandum that he's supposed to be working on?
In legal opinion of what needs to be done, yeah.
If the city does decide, and if the city residents desire, which maybe they do, to have the districts absorbed by the city.
Well, I think it was only the what the options were.
Yeah. How the city could proceed if this is what they desire.
I think it was three options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there'd be three options, and I would think this committee then would look at them and make recommendations. So the city is the one that has to make the final.
You think he might be through with it, Adele? Is that what you... I
don't know. Okay. You know, let's put it in Rick's hands.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll put it under my
hands. And I haven't wanted to involve Jeremy at this point because, you know, I didn't want to start spending the city's money. I haven't asked the city to involve Jeremy.
Yeah, but remember in the very beginning, council had approved that legal memorandum.
That was last winter, I think.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago, and this is supposed to be pretty, comprehensive. That's gonna.
I'll also email Representative Lisnett and ask him if he could maybe speed up the legislative council's opinion. That maybe by next month. All right. Any questions or comments on the? Infrastructure workshop. Jay,
I have one other comment. If you recall, we spoke for a second with Brian Otten of USDA Rural Development because the districts, at least one of the districts, hold debt with Rural Development. Both of them do. So there would be, if the city were to absorb the districts, the city would be taking on all the assets and debt of the districts. So they would have to be able to show that they can take on that debt. And that is a process that is done from time to time, but isn't simple and isn't easy. The complicating factor is the security for the debt, that when a city borrows money for an infrastructure improvement project, they tend to secure it with either a general obligation bond or with a revenue bond. So the city would have to issue one of these bonds to serve as the security for the loan, the proof that they can pay.
What is the sewer district providing as collateral for these loans now?
We did a revenue bond. Okay. And that's where bond council comes in. You have to do a revenue bond per loan.
So what happens to those revenue bonds if the city absorbs the special districts?
You have to reapply for our loans. get the USDA, go through bond council, and do your own revenue bonds.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So one would sort of in effect if everything went.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then the sewer district also has a loan with Deschutes County. Mm-hmm. Mm. It's a horse of a different color.
Yeah, I read about that too. Mm. But there's a, isn't there a monthly payment structure, but there is a chance of
it
being forgiven?
It was in agreement with the Crescent Creek subdivision. They loaned us the sewer district the money to sewer the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And a portion of the SDCs collected in Crescent Creek goes to pay the loan back.
Okay, not remembering that.
But since billing went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All we're doing is accruing interest.
So we should find out if the city did decide to take them over and if all the legalities showed that it could happen, would Deschutes County then make some sort of different agreement with the city to continue that same thing? Yeah. But that's another thing that we need to be sure that we have that duck in a row.
We'll do a check for it.
Yes.
So how would the group look into that? Is there someone at the county we could speak to about how that would work?
Who did you work with at the county?
Tony Anderson.
Okay. Is there a, I mean, I'm probably getting my cart ahead of my horse, but if I were the one to be putting together this consolidation of budgets with estimated different figures for insurance and legal and so forth, is there particular paperwork to go through with RCAC or USDA that if I'm doing this, I could be doing it already in a format acceptable to them?
With USDA rural development, there's going to be a bit of paperwork, and it will
just a bit.
As a retired commercial loan officer,
so you understand. Yeah, and because it's a federal agency, it expected to take a while to go back and
it's
forth.
It's not over by a pound.
Yeah. Sure. And it will take some time, so the earlier you'd want to look into.
Okay. I didn't bring it with me. The gal that's in the Bend office, that
Pam Squires.
Yeah, Pam Squires.
Out of Redmond.
She would be the one that you would contact.
Yeah, and I have talked to her before.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good.
Okay. So if I am going to do some sort of a pro forma budget, I prefer to do it in a format that's acceptable to USDA rather than do it
certainly
twice.
Yeah. Right.
So Pam Squires is with USDA.
Yep.
And I have.
So we have the budgets that I will send you.
Uh-huh. Oh, but yours, of course, would be in compliance with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
So what is the regulatory bond?
A revenue
what
bond.
What is it? A revenue bond?
Revenue bond is it's a promise to pay based on your revenue and that you have sufficient revenue that will set aside the debt service. You still have to go through a bond council. That's about as much I know about it, to be honest. I know that a bond counsel is a special attorney that costs thousands of dollars to issue the revenue bond.
Yeah. It costs us anywhere, with the loans we've got, in between $15,000 to $20,000 per loan to go through bond counsel.
So that's another budget line item.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No one's been able to tell me why that costs so much.
Because they're attorneys and they can. Bingo. You know, they send you the bill, you pay it.
Yeah.
And what's the general obligation bond?
That's more like a tax in that it is everyone is obligated to pay. It's not set to a bill, revenue from your water service.
So is that assessed to the ratepayers or no?
It's assessed to everyone in the city.
Okay.
Are these the kind of revenue bonds, are they the kind of things that go on the ballot that people could vote on to have their property taxes increased to pass a bond?
General obligation bond has to go to vote. Mm-hmm. Revenue bond does not.
Do not. Okay.
It can be contested, a revenue bond, when the city council adopts a revenue bond. I think there's 30 days that the public can contest the bond and stage argument against it.
Next question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there grants available to help pay for that financing, those bonds that attorney.
Yes, if you were to pursue a loan with rural development, now this is in the scenario of a new expense. If you were to pursue a loan through rural development for a new sewer plant, for example, and you needed to issue a revenue bond, the loan grant package that you would get from RD could pay for the bond council. It would be rolled into that total package. But since this is a loan that's already existing, I have no idea, to be honest. I can look into that. If you were to take over the debt and have to issue a new bond, perhaps they would add that amount to your loan.
I talked to Pam about that, and she said you have to apply for it as if it's a new loan.
Right. Mm-hmm. She told me that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So it could be rolled in.
So presumably, it'd be rolled in, that cost would be rolled into the mm-hmm. loan package.
Okay. Any other questions from?
One other clarification. So you said that regarding the general obligation bond, you said that everyone in the city, and then so that's different than the rate peers. So it'd be.
It could be different. It depends. The revenue bond is part of the sewer bills. Mm-hmm. You're saying that enough of our sewer bill can be set aside to a separate debt service account, mm-hmm. and will be set aside. Mm-hmm. The general obligation bond, the reason it has to go to vote is because everyone in the city is. It's like a property tax. Everyone in the city is paying this tax, regardless of whether they receive service or not.
Oh, okay.
I got an impression, maybe it was just an inkling, mm-hmm. from that conference, mm-hmm. that perhaps current loan rates might be less than what the districts are now paying.
Probably are.
Because it's like
4.5.
The highest loan rate right now is 4.125, mm-hmm. but that I think would I'm qualified for lower rate than that.
Yeah.
The lowest, the poverty loan rate is below 3%. I think it's 2.8 or 2.9.
Well, Pine's definitely in poverty.
So it's going to be somewhere between those two.
It's a big deal win situation.
Yeah.
In terms of your rate, presumably be low. Right now, that's today.
Yeah, right now.
A year from now, 2 years from now,
Because are those subject to change on a daily basis?
Quarterly. And if you...
I don't mean in an existing loan. I just mean how often do you adjust your rates? I mean, they're not...
USDA.
USDA adjusts their rates on a quarterly basis. And but that is fixed for the life of the loan at the time the loan is approved.
Not signed.
Not signed. If the loan is approved to this quarter,
so you lock it in the day.
You lock it in. If you don't get the money for a year from now, it's still the loan. They even give you the positive benefit of the doubt in that if the rate is lower when you actually close on the loan, you can choose to.
The lower rate.
To renegotiate it.
I thought that was kind of the information that was kind of.
No, they don't.
Yeah. So who knows? There might be another program out there that's cheaper than USDA.
And there are lower rates, but USDA's benefit tends to be the longest loans. 40 years.
Is the fee structure maybe more attractive?
Yeah. Okay. Well, these are
good
the
stuff.
Kind of questions we hope to get answered and be able to present to the city for their final deliberation on it. So it could be a win situation. Actually, the ratepayers may be paying less by the city.
That is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's why, would you suggest the one-stop shop then for the city? When they're thinking of doing this, if they decide to do it,
you'd have to be ready to make application before you can schedule one. But if your budget is already in line, if you want to go through that process, you can.
Okay. Another question. Mm-hmm. my experience in working with SBA and other government entities is that the packet, as you said, is large and somewhat cumbersome. Mm-hmm. And let's assume that we were capable enough to put this together without too many glitches.
Mm-hmm.
At the time that all of the documentation is considered adequate to make a formal application,
mm-hmm.
what is the usual ballpark turnaround time from application to approval?
It depends from agency to agency. USDA Rural Development, you're looking at minimum 6 months.
Uh-huh.
It goes from PAM to the Portland office to Washington, D.C. to who knows how many offices in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm.
That's why I thought we should know that.
Yeah.
Because that's my experience with SBA and FHA and mm-hmm. it's just...
Yeah. What tends to, from my experience, what tends to tie cities up, though, is when there's engineering involved in getting the engineering report completed and approved.
Okay. So we wouldn't have to worry about that.
Wouldn't be a situation here. So, although I don't know if the, I don't know if there would still have to be some approval from the USDA's engineering department or not. That's another good question. I haven't ever dealt with this refinancing issue before, so mm-hmm. this is a learning process for me too. So we want to know if we can do a one-stop scenario with the refinancing, how long that would take to schedule, and then also, what did we just mention?
Engineering.
If that
would have to
be
sign off.
Yeah.
There isn't anything like an environmental, is there? There is an environmental assessment.
Mm-hmm. There was when they originally got the financing. So if it would need to
and
be...
And we just had to do another one for another grant we applied for, so...
Mm-hmm. So it could be possible just to update them. I mean, I'm not
could
asking you.
We had to do a whole new one.
Oh, a whole new one.
If it was more than 5 years, they tend to do...
But, again, when I have ordered, like, phase one environmentals,
mm-hmm.
if one was done very recently and you use the same firm, they can just...
If it's been less than 5 years,
yeah.
it's usually where they mm-hmm. will let you slide with an update versus
okay.
doing a whole new one. And those loans, I presume, are older than 5 years.
But the one you just redid for the new grant, that's...
That was Water Smart. That wasn't through USDA.
Okay.
That's a Water mm-hmm. Smart grant
okay.
that we're mm-hmm. applying for.
Because environmental assessments,
and
phase one,
for,
phase
yeah,
two,
that goes for the BioGreen project.
They take a long time, too, and they're very expensive.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, good question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your input, Jake.
Thanks,
Bob.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Any other questions on the... infrastructure workshop.
Find me another one next year. Anyone wants to come spring.
Okay, good. Adele, timeline for community duties.
Okay, I think the last time that we were going to kind of flesh out the if anybody had any ideas to put into this outline. Did anybody have a chance to look at theirs? Or I think I'll make copies.
Yeah, I can want to make
okay.
them.
Okay.
For those that may not have been here today, Adele's keeping her feet to the fire. And looking for timelines and action. Rather than discussion, I think we've had enough time for discussion. and I think that's excellent. You know, I think we can, should incorporate this legal advice by 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
That would help us move things along. And then I hate to throw a bunch of stuff at you, but you're the one that's had the experience.
For budgets?
For budgets, yeah.
Yeah. If, you know, the... Donna said she'll email me the water and sewer budgets, and I'm not a real good Excel person, so I'm really not sure how I could merge a city, and I might have to just put it together.
We have a a member of this committee that has some expertise in that area.
Tony, my man.
Yes. Tony and his wife.
Okay, yeah.
And his resources.
Yes, and his resources. Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be her.
Yeah, no, you're like, yeah. I'm on dial up, but.
Kind of what I did is just went through the resolution and got our action items and put them in an outline format and kind of where all those little the items underneath is where I added, but you know, I just kind of ran out of ideas. So I think maybe that we could kind of go through them and see if anybody had anything else, and then I could add them in.
Under two, identifying funding mechanisms, do you think we should elaborate that to research revenue bonds?
No.
We can do one specifically. I'm looking at 1A 221 or II1, town hall meetings. We had one at which this committee was the after effect of. Do you think that another one maybe specifically on this issue?
Well, yeah, I was thinking of start the conversation early and just specifically for the annexation on, saying, this is, down the road, the city's ready because of the following reasons, this is what we've looked at, this is how we're going to be able to accomplish this.
Because the question came up at town hall meetings that this committee was formed from, possibly after we get all our I's dotted and T's crossed and present to the city council, at that point the council may determine that they want to have a town hall meeting to update the general public on what's been accomplished.
Could I add to that?
Yeah.
I think we need to come up with reasons why, how it benefits the people, because if they're saying we're already being serviced, how does the change benefit them? I mean, we really are going to have a reason, I think.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
You're going to have to say to somebody, somebody's going to ask, well,
why?
What?
If it's not,
why do
well,
I care?
Right.
I mean, if it's going to cost money to reapply for loans and to redo revenue bonds, the people that were shouting for this to happen may go, whoa.
Right.
And that's what's the purpose of this committee.
Right. I think then after we start getting some of our research done and the answers and that done, then we come back and then we'll see. Number one, if the bonds can be refinanced at a much lower rate.
Right.
That's an advantage to the ratepayer, paying lower rates.
Maybe. See, something USDA does with our loans, what they did, see, that they actually started our base rate initially at 49-something, and the board had to fight for about a year to get them down to 27.34 for the base rate for water.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, they're going to tell you what they want your rate to be.
Oh. Just like they also set the SDC charges.
They tell you what your SDC needs to be.
They don't the set. Minimum. They're not a regulatory. They're not regulating the charge. They have to tell you what they recommend to service their loan. This is what they say. You should charge $49 per individual per month in order to service this loan. If you want to charge differently, you're going to have a compelling argument why you can make it work for less.
Right.
Given your budget.
Okay.
In item three, the pros and cons is kind of what you're talking about. If you're going to tell the public what are the costs and benefits, the financials, I think, and there's economic development, there's the level of service, but there's also, is my bill going to change? And that, out of your pro forma budget and what the bond council costs are and what the new debt is going to look like, you probably want to be comfortable speaking to the public about rates. Are the rates going to change? That's the first question I would have if I was there.
Absolutely. But I think a lot of these, I say a lot, a number of these things will become apparent as we go further along. We're discussing the idea that these are things that we need to be thinking about and talking about, this is a nice outline that it'll work and be added to, but we'll also see that as we cover each item, we'll get a better feel for what the positive sides are and the negative.
On the 3B level of service, what can someone explain what that entails?
How much water do we get per month?
3,600 gallons for.
Okay. I mean, that to me, level of service is, would that fall into that? Is that what?
Well, and maybe level of service could also include rate. You know.
They're tied together.
Right. Yeah. Which is also tied with whomever you get your loans through.
And what the city would do to have the level of service remain as it is. Is that a feasibility, that type of thing? That's what I was thinking about.
So, Donna, you said 3,600 gallons per month for
2734.
And if it goes over that, then there's an additional
$2 a thousand.
Okay.
The base of level of service is, for a drinking water utility, is public health. How safe is our drinking water? Does it taste good? Does it taste funny? You know, do you get a lot of complaints about chlorine's high, this kind of thing? Or have you had any health violations? Has there been problems, that kind of thing? That's all part of level of service. And the public is obviously going to be concerned about that. Wherever you are, they want to know that their public drinking water is going to be the safest, that it's secure, that it's going to last for a long time. Now, there's no reason, for us to believe that if the city were to manage the districts, that would be any different than if the districts managed them, but that is part of level of service.
Another point of level of service is problem resolution.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I've sat in on some of your meetings and I've seen people come in with complaints and, you know, and how they're handled and how the customer is talked to for different options that you can do to resolve this problem. And if somebody's never had a problem, they don't even think about problem resolution, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another level of service thing. But that shouldn't, you would think again that wouldn't change just because it was a city instead of a special district. Depends on the quality of the people working there, right, Donna?
In terms of that, Donna, maybe this is out of line, I'll put it under the other item on the agenda is, I got feedback about 2 weeks ago from a couple of vendors and that had their trailers and vending sandwiches, hot dog, barbecue stuff, and they said that they were approached by the water district that they owed X number of dollars, and I can't remember.
Sewer.
That was the sewer.
Right.
Oh, and they don't.
That was on approached.
Huh?
And I only approached one.
Oh,
okay.
Because sewer has what they call a storefront policy.
Yeah,
so,
the storefront policy.
Right. Since then, I have talked to our attorney, and we have decided we're going to, because they come in and out every day, we're just going to let it go. They're not like the coffee shacks that are permanent structures. We just discussed that at our meeting on Tuesday.
Unfortunately, I was out of town. Okay, so that is all but void. You raised a little bit of a ruckus and went.
I would really suggest that when you hear something like that, call me.
Okay.
Because there are two sides.
Yep, I understand.
Yeah. That's what I try and tell everybody. Don't listen to what, because after it goes three or four times, you know, it's like playing telephone when you're a little kid.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Ice cream.
Exactly.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that.
Okay. What about administrative costs, having one office instead of two?
Yeah, that is another thing that I think that's. Yeah, I think that's something that we would think about. Like what was it? Tony said at one time, one stop shop, that instead of dealing with sewer district, the business wanting to come in.
Go on the sewer, they don't have to do sewer work.
Sewer and water and city and county.
Yeah, and then they can go do something else.
You mean as far as us physically moving?
No, just that it's one entity.
Okay.
It's one entity.
Because I can't, we have too much.
Yeah.
Booster pump and stuff over there, we can't just leave it alone.
No, I think it's just, it's not that, I mean, Deschutes County and City of Bend and everything, they got offices all over town.
Right.
It's just that you're dealing with one entity instead of three entities.
So they might come
the
to the city to see the bills.
Or
County.
Yeah.
Or however that works out. Like in a permitting process thing.
Mm-hmm.
Someday the city actually gets to do its own permits too.
So what I thought maybe is that, you know, so these actually represent what the charge of the committee is. And so I thought that, you know, among all of these other topics that we've been talking about, you know, about the budget and all that, so I was thinking of maybe, like taking them one at a time and kind of talking about that, and then at the end of whenever we get to the end, we'll have this kind of like living document, and we can like change it, and that will be the report that we, part of the report that we put into council. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would think that number one, most of those items maybe come a little later in the process.
Yeah.
You know, after we started doing our research and getting facts and so on, and then we start working on those at the town hall meeting and so on. But that would be for the city to schedule anyway.
I think we're kind of stuck on three.
Well, I mean, just, and that's the biggest one. You don't go anywhere without that. What's the insurance cost? What's the loan application fees and the revenue bond fees and legal fees and just woke up in the morning, please.
Number three, economic development. And Donna, this is nothing against you, but the impression's been out there that the districts are kind of anti development.
And we're not. And that was going to be my next suggestion, is that if I can, I would like to have our engineer come in and explain why the SDCs are the way they are, especially for sewer, because sewer is very expensive to for the, just the processing of the septic. You know, it has to go through four lagoons. It's very costly. And we're getting ready to raise waters because we're trying to get more water rights. And that has cost us ungodly amounts of money.
Then I can also put it, I have this chart of all the cities in Oregon and their SDCs.
Yeah.
So we can kind of put it into...
Oh, great.
We've done that.
Okay.
And we are lower than Redmond, Madras, Prineville, Sisters.
You know, I would caution against always comparing to other cities, because a system development charge and a rate is set to pay for the system that you have. Mm-hmm. If Bend charges twice as much or half as much, that only matters if you're moving to Bend.
Right.
Because they're charging what, they're presumably setting their system development charge to pay for what it costs to develop the system there, to pay for their component of the system. If it costs more or less than the fine, that's what it costs.
But I think of the factor that would be important to us, mm-hmm. I think, would be the economic development factor.
If it is higher, what are the consequences?
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And what are the other options? If it costs more for you to run your system than it does for the city down the street, what can you do differently?
Right. And as far as Ted saying that people are saying that we are anti with the new senior affordable housing, both districts cut the SDCs in half for them.
Oh, so that is a possibility.
So, here's the good stuff we do.
Because, I can...
And with the new one, we're going to do it again.
Three industries that wanted to come into town, but when they found out what the SDCs were, they said no thanks.
I don't know who they are, and if they did, they didn't talk to me.
Yeah, well...
Because I got a book from the League of Oregon Cities one time that showed the different STCs, mm-hmm. and Lapine wasn't in there, and I don't know why. I think maybe
we're not a
city.
Cities. Yeah. But a lot of them were amazingly low, but then that could be like for very well-established cities who are large,
who have
a lot
been there longer.
Drawn to pay them.
Right. And so the purpose of a system development charge is to have that user who is now adding to the system pay their share so that everybody else doesn't pay it for them.
So you have a new report, though. It shows the other cities. Did you say that you're? Since you said you're,
we time to time go through and look at the local other local cities and see what theirs are, just so we can see where we're at with them.
That would be very valuable for us to have.
Yeah.
A lot of the cities, City Bend, Redmond, Madras, I think Prineville also have them on the website. They post them. Mm-hmm.
Do you have them on the website? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying?
The other cities do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sure, you're not a city, so you don't.
How do we get yours as a community?
Ask me. Our system development charge for sewer is $5,700 per EDU, which means equivalent dwelling unit.
Do you have a document with all these on it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we have to. It's in our master plan. Yeah, we have a SDC methodology ordinance. Okay. We have all kinds of stuff, and that is on the website.
So if we just went on the internet and called it City of Prineville, City of Bend, whatever, we can get their SDC.
But I have that, though.
Yeah. And if you go to water and sewers websites and look at ordinances, you will see the methodologies for coming up with the SDC we have.
And the amount of the SDC? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's set by USDA.
No.
It's
recommended.
Right, and then our engineer goes through, does our master plan, and he has a whole, the way he formulates it out, I didn't take calculus.
That's engineer stuff.
That's why I was hoping I could get him to come to one of the committee meetings.
What do you think, Ted?
And answer any of your questions about the methodologies.
I feel like that'd be a great idea. Mm-hmm. Talk you through why was the SDC
exactly.
Of course, another question I have is on the industrial land and commercial land, using EDUs rather than usage for charges.
Well, we decided to go with the I'm not sure actually why they decided to go with the EDU. That was premium.
EDU is equivalent dwelling unit.
Right. And so, like for a restaurant, we base it on the number of chairs and the number of bathrooms. For just an office, depends on if they're public or private bathrooms. So, like my office at the water district is one because we only have one toilet.
And there's just like, we're asking you a lot of questions and
thoughts
on the spot, so thank you very much.
Yes.
Is this based on some like standard type things that water district? Yeah, I mean, that was a dumb question.
Yeah, actually, the City of Sisters does it the exact same way we do.
Yeah.
And the Oregon revised statutes on STCs are pretty extensive on what you can and can't charge for.
Right.
It's been my personal feeling that EDUs for residential units is the appropriate way to go, but for some industrial uses, it's apples and oranges. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, but that's why we went and made the effort with the senior affordable housing to go ahead and cut theirs in half.
Yeah.
We're going to have to start publicizing when we do good things.
You said something earlier about the fact that nobody ever hears about the good things you do. Well, you got the horn. It's your horn, so if you blow it, okay. And it's worthy, you know, even a... I always felt that the city council needed to put out a quarterly information, and they resisted it from day one.
Yep.
And it's nothing more than just here's what's going on and here's some of the things we've done. So it would be the same thing for you. I would say it would be an advantageous item to...
It would probably come out in your consumer confidence reports once a year. It would be a little brief about what had happened, but it's usually
but
so...
But unfortunately, if you put it in the billing, people go,
and it happens so far after.
You know, water does an annual, or sewer has to do an annual letter, I'm sure, that they just go,
I always read it.
Our people throw it away.
I'm usually the one who calls and says, what's going on with this?
Yeah.
Adele, we kind of got off the subject, and we're 5 after 5. I'd like to, continue this, have everybody go and look at this, and be prepared to come back next time with comments.
Okay.
What
is the next meeting?
Third Thursday of the month?
Or the Thursday of the 6:15?
I don't know.
22nd. I'm sorry, 15th.
Okay, I'm going to be here July.
July 3rd is the first. First is 3rd.
I've got a family reunion.
I'd rather
be here.
It's
not my family.
Oh,
jeez.
The in-laws. With that, I'll make it open now to the public for any comments or questions before we adjourn.
I just have a question on the people in the city. Is everybody in the city on the sewer and water, or is it the cable area that...
Cable's the only one that's not.
Okay.
And we're getting ready to annex that.
Well,
and Glenwood Acres.
Glenwood's on their own water system.
Yep.
True. But that also means they're not within the sewer and water district.
Yeah.
But they're getting ready to annex that.
No, we're in the city. Yes, we are.
Okay, so Glenwood's in the city, but not on the sewer.
Yeah.
Right.
So, cable is not part of the water or sewer district?
That's
so
true.
There's another thing where the city boundaries don't match.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's the other way. Instead of them having a larger, the city limits
city.
Are larger than the district.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, we're getting ready to annex that. We had to wait till the comprehensive plan was accepted by the state before we could go ahead with that. Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be according to the city boundaries, or are you going to annex some part of that area down there that's not part of the city?
We are going to annex everything you see here all the way over to the river.
Oh.
Use the river as a boundary.
So there's going to be a
another piece.
Or another piece that's dealing with the fact that it's, what was that?
Outside of the city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Outside of the city.
So instead of using Huntington Road as your boundary, yeah, you're using your river as your boundary.
Huh. Will there be some service connections added? In there?
Like the trailer park?
Yep. That's the main reason, because they wanted water and sewer.
And it comes what, back to Huntington then? I mean to Burgess and back over to...
It'll encompass Glenwood and then down, and then just follow the same path that it follows down Huntington.
It's going to encompass?
Glenwood.
As a sewer district?
Mm-hmm. And water. So what water will probably end up doing is just purchasing that small city. I believe there's 23 people on it, 22, something like that.
We'll he's the manager end up purchasing of that.
Yeah. And upgrading it.
What is it? I know that we've already had a canvas of it. And I don't think that there's a couple in there that want to have it. So...
In Glenwood?
In Glenwood.
Oh, I've had 3 people come in and tell me they want it.
Okay. Well,
just in the last 2 months.
Okay. So there's 3 then.
Yeah. And that's just them coming to us.
Right. Right. What is the nature of getting that annexed? A boat?
Mm-mm. No, we go to Deschutes County. We've already got it in our master plan. We just present it to Deschutes County that we would like it annexed, and they do the process for us. That's how we got Bidwood Cave Junction.
It's not like city annexation.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier.
Well, it's just us going to the county and saying we don't want it.
What?
What is the charge when you do that? When you
to us?
No, to the landowners.
No, there's no charge.
The only charge to the customer is what it costs you to get it from the meter to your house. We do not charge SDCs when we add customers. Like when we annexed all of Wickiup Junction, nobody paid an SDC.
Isn't it funded by the grant? Isn't that one of the reasons for your grant? Is to provide this to the cable?
Okay.
So it's a grant. So except that if your house is way back on the road, like, 30 yards or something, that could be fair expense.
Right. In fact, when we first did the main Lapine project, Deschutes County, because they used to base it on the distance of the line and all this, and they were so inundated with people getting connected that they just set a flat rate.
Ah.
I think it was $60. For your plumbing permit.
But then you have to dig up your ground.
Because the homeowner, you can do it yourself.
What if somebody doesn't want to hook up? They have to?
No, they do not have to. We cannot make them, but under USDA rules, they have to pay the bill. Well, it's like if you go to buy a house, you got to have a way to pay it back, and they want to see how you pay it back. Right. So it's just a way that USDA knows they're going to get their money.
So it's their own resolution. Of people, and you have to do that. And you get along.
Yeah, would it trade financing?
I'm sorry?
Well, how did they pay for it? A person were in a house and they're very poor.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of grants out there.
But an individual would have to apply for a grant?
When you've got a senior community, that becomes a problem, and we have a senior community there, so you think about all these old folks that have to...
Well, of all of our 650 customers, I believe less than 5 are not connected. And that's just because we put new line in on Drafter, and they haven't all got connected yet.
Well, we charge $27.50 for 5,400 gallons a month.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what's your average?
250 for 100 cubic for 750 gallons for 100 cubic feet. We do cubics.
Right, 7.46 gallons in cubic.
So it's $2.50 for 746
gallons, right? Whereas ours is $2 for every thousand.
Right.
Which is cheap.
Okay. Any other comments? We're way past our time.
Yeah.
If not, we would adjourn till the 15th of July.
Already July.